Blog Talk Radio.
Quarterback like Johnny Lou Jack or even Sid Luffin. As a matter of fact, do you remember Red Brains, the galloping ghost? He could do a 95 running coast to coast. You had Norm Van Brocklin, a real great player, so swift with his moves that he could be mayor. Why ain't Tittle, Ally Madison? Hey, I remember all those guys from back in the day.
It's the sort of thing better than diamond rings. That's why we're here to sing football Sunday in the snow. Referees, whistle blows, weekend warriors toe to toe. Football, 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 football.
What's going on, everybody? It's your boy Cali Mike, and we're coming at you with a new episode of Take This L. This is going to be the football preview show. Man, oh man, I'm really looking forward to it. We're going to get things on and crack a jacking. For those that want to call in, the number to call in is 347-237-5539. We are going to be going over a lot of subject matter. A lot of things are going on. A lot. And I am excited. I am excited and ready to get rolling. First, let's get my screen up here. I want to talk about everything that's been going on in football. It's been going on so much, like I said, so much since we've been here the last time. Last time we were on, we did our was the NFL draft. That's when we were doing our draft preview show. Our draft review show, my bad. Actually, no, we did the preview show here. We did the review show on our sister network, our sister channel, called R2 Dawn Sports. But like I said, there's been a lot going on. Quarterback battles in college football, new quarterbacks in the NFL, rookies going to be starting. It's so much to do. I'm starting off with the biggest news of the day. And that came in today. Aaron Rodgers has signed a record-breaking deal that is going to be worth $134 million for 4 years. And it could be up to worth, it could be worth up to $180 million if all the escalators and, you know, bonuses or whatnot are hit. It includes $103 million in guarantees and It'll average out to about $33.5 million a year. Now, I think they said that the escalators are going to be based on how the Packers make the playoffs. And within Rodgers, if Rodgers finishes in the top three in quarterback rating, that is the rumor. You know, for Aaron Rodgers, I mean, you look at his career, his last, minusing last year because he got hurt, the last 4 years of his career, he's, my goodness. Let's just say this, since 2007. Wow. Okay, this is okay. Aaron Rodgers' career since 2007, which was his first, that was actually his third year. Okay, he didn't actually start until 2008. So let's go. He was drafted in 2005. Rodgers came in the league in 2005, but he sat the first, about the first 3 years of his career, he sat behind Brett Favre. And I believe Favre had gotten hurt a couple of games. And I think the Pack maybe realized that they had a starter on their hands. So since 2008, he has only finished with a quarterback rating of under 100 three times. In those three times, he had a quarterback rating of 93, 92, and 97. That is mind-boggling. He's never finished. He finished once in his career with under 60% pass, under 63% passing. My goodness. His past couple of years, he's thrown 38, 31, and 40 touchdowns to only 20 picks. So that's the 8. That's 109 touchdowns. Well, I added last season too. He was hurt last season. Only got to play a few games. So that's 125 touchdowns to only 26 interceptions. And that's in the past 4 years. And like I said, he only played 7 games last year. So he's averaging 30 touchdowns, 31 touchdowns a year over the past 4 years. And like I said, that's to only 26. Oh my goodness, that's 26 TDs. So it's 30 touchdowns to six interceptions. That is balling. And when you look at let me just go ahead and look at the QB ratings for last year. Okay, last year he only played 7 games. And he finished 8th in quarterback rating. Let me go through his full seasons. 2016, he was number 4. That was an amazing year, though. 2015, he was...
No, oh, he was 15. Okay. Let's see, 2014, he was number two. 2013, he was number five. Mm. And like I said, and that's also the thing. I didn't know he was actually that low, but that's also, you know, I mean, that's not low considering that in 2005, I mean, 2013, he was number five with 104 quarterback rating. Okay, I see what this is. This list isn't this list doesn't look like it's adjusted to everyone. I see. Jeez, I'm just looking at some stats here. My goodness. Whew. Nick Foles in 2013 threw 27 touchdowns, only two picks for 119 quarterback rating. He did that in only 13 games. Gotta wonder. That was his second year? What the heck? You gotta wonder why people aren't giving this dude a chance to start somewhere. Not to mention he won the Super Bowl last year. What? Carson Wentz. Oh, okay. Ah, so Wentz has not yet been cleared yet. Well, anyway, let me get back on the subject. Still talking about Aaron Rodgers. Like I say, Rodgers, he's going to be signing this big contract. Now, I mean, even without him hitting all the incentives, he'll still be getting around 30. I think it's $33 million a year, which is a lot of money. But, you know, if he hits all those incentives, which Pack making the playoffs for 4 years is not that hard to believe. And him finishing top three in quarterback rating isn't that far off. Like I say, you got to figure each of them probably has their own bonus. So he'll be getting some of that money no matter what. He's looking in the area of $45 million a year. And that's approaching NBA money. So that should, I don't know, that kind of says two things. It says, A, unless your kid's playing quarterback, you might need to switch him to another sport. And B, the NFL at least is starting to see that it's going to have to start doing something differently to get their salaries. At least, and like I say, they should be higher. And like I say, just to be clear, NFL makes more money than any other sport. It's not even close. But their players have played less. And as they say, they're based on the games. But, I mean, an NFL game compared to a baseball game or a basketball game, there's no comparison. But, you know, you look at this deal, and Rodgers is, how old is Aaron Rodgers? Aaron Rodgers got to be getting up there. He's 34 years old. He'll be 35 by the end of this season. Oh my goodness, I'm turning 36 this year. That is ridiculous. Yeah, he's turning 35 this year. And they're still willing to pay him that much money. Now, you compare that to Odell Beckham Jr.'s contract, which was 5 years, $95 million. Which, you know, he'll be getting around $19 million a year, which is, you know, that's okay. But, you know, Rodgers' contract is not good. I mean, That's, like I say, basically look at Odell Beckham's contract. He's the high, you know, highest paid wide receiver, record contract for a wide receiver. And like I say, this is, you know, extremely high contract. But that's money that I think, let me see, I think Joe Flacco got a $20 million contract. And that was when the Ravens won the Super Bowl. So that was years ago. You know, so that's just to let you know, these, like I said, unless your kid is playing quarterback. Shoot, I really can't even think of another position that's even anywhere near there. I mean, they're paying a 35-year-old Aaron Rodgers possibly twice as much as a 25-year-old Odell Beckham Jr. So that's kind of a... That's very, very hinting. Now, you can look at a. Oops. Some of these other, kind of like I say, none of them are approaching quarterback contracts. So, you know, like I say, have your kid play quarterback, or have him go into baseball, or basketball if you can. But yeah, that's not even close. I wanted to talk a little bit about high school football too. We had some good high school games coming up. We've had some good matchups. High school football is becoming really, really It's like I say, some of the top high schools are almost like colleges. This weekend coming up, we got one of the bigger matchups in the history of college football. We have Modern Day of California versus the IMG Academy of Florida. Well, really, it's the IMG Academy of the country, because IMG is a sports academy that opened a school. Well, let me backtrack that. IMG is a sports.
The Infiniti QX50's revolutionary VC turbo engine has the power of a V6.
IMG is a sports agency that opened a school that started sports teams. And they have one of the top football teams in the country, and they can get kids from all over the country. Modern Day is a private school in Southern California. It pulls all the top kids from the Southern California area, though. So this is the mega matchup. Last year, they were number 1 and 2 in the country. This year, I think Modern Day is number 2. And IMG is probably not that far behind. Let me see if I can look this up really quick. We got callers on the line. I'm going to bring everybody in. Let's look at these rankings real quick. Oh yeah, we got a Modern Day at number 2.
Plus care stain defense go beyond sweat protection.
We got Modern Day at number 2, and IMG is number 6. So that's going to be a big matchup. Let me go ahead and bring. Looks like we got a big game. James on here with us.
Hey yo, what up? Yo, what's good? What's up? Give me.
Oops, sorry, got disconnected there. Now I'm back. Okay, yeah, I was saying the top 5 quarterbacks from 2016, 3 of them have transferred: Shea Patterson, Jacob Eason, who's in Washington now. He was in Georgia, got injured, got outplayed by the new guy, Jacob Fromm. And Malik Henry, who's now at Independence, community college, and he was on Last Chance U. I think I just heard that he will be coming back to Independence this year. Hopefully he can get his career back on track. I don't know. It seems like he might have had some issues other than football. I don't know. He had, it seemed like he had a lot of anger in him. And I hate to say that, but that seemed to be his case. I want to take a look at something else real quick. Okay, yeah. And anyway, going back to the quarterback battles, like I said, that's Michigan. Now we can go ahead. Kyler Murray has been named the starter for Oklahoma. Not much of a surprise to me. I kind of got Kyler as a Heisman dark horse. This guy was probably, arguably, one of the best high school football players ever. Ever. He put up monster numbers in high school. Came to Oklahoma. Just a hint of some of the stats that he put up in high school. His first year starting, he threw for 2,000 yards, 17 touchdowns and 5 interceptions, and rushed for 1,300 yards on 188 carries with 25 touchdowns. Second year, threw for 3,600 yards with 46 touchdowns, only 9 picks, and rushed for 1,200 yards with 19 touchdowns. Senior year, threw for 4,700 yards, 54 touchdowns, 8 picks, with 1,400 yards rushing and 25 touchdowns. His total numbers in just 3 years, and this is on a 63% completion passing rating, 10,000 yards, 117 touchdowns, 22 picks, 4,100 yards rushing, and 69 rushing touchdowns. And that's playing on one of the higher levels of Texas high school football. I think Allen is the highest. I think they're 6A. He was number one dual threat quarterback and Gatorade Player of the Year his senior year. Now, he also plays baseball, and he's an excellent baseball player. So he was drafted this year by the Oakland A's with the number 9 pick. Overall, number 9. Last year, he batted. He batted 296 with 10 home runs, 47 RBIs, and 10 stolen bases. But he said he wants to give football one more year. He's going to play 1 year at Oklahoma. And he's replacing, of course, last year's Heisman Trophy winner, number one pick, Baker Mayfield. So he's got big shoes to fill. But like I said, if anybody could fill him, it's this guy. He didn't actually get named the starter until recently, though, which kind of had people worried that he didn't really take over the starting role. But like I say, it also, could have been because he was, focused on other stuff, whatnot. Like being the number not 9 pick in baseball. So I'm pretty sure he missed all the spring. Okay, other battles are Kelly Bryant got named the starting quarterback at Clemson over Trevor Lawrence. incoming freshman. Wasn't that much of a surprise. I mean, I don't know. I'm kind of flip-flop on that one just because Bryant was the starter all of last year, and they had a really good team last year. But, you know, they brought in Trevor Lawrence. I mean, they were really good last year. They made it to the college football playoffs. They brought in Trevor Lawrence, though, who was the number one rated quarterback of this year from high school, and people thought that he could maybe take over and move Bryant out of his starting spot. Apparently, that's not going to be the case. So, Kelly Bryant's going to remain the starter. Last year, he didn't have a bad year last year. He had a pretty decent year for a first-time starter. 65%, 13 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, 2,800 yards, and add in 600 yards rushing with 11 touchdowns. So, he had a pretty decent season. The guys that were behind him, they're transferring, though, I believe. That was including Hunter Johnson, who was another top quarterback. I think he was the number one quarterback out of his class. He's transferred. Looks like he's transferred to Northwestern. And then Zarek Cooper, who was a top QB in his own right, number 7 dual threat quarterback, he has transferred to Jacksonville State. So he'll be there. But yeah, like I say, Lawrence is going to be hot on his tail the whole season. Adrian Martinez is going to be starting at Nebraska. So Tristan, I don't know how you say his last name, Jebbia, he will be transferring. He's going to transfer to Oregon State, which I don't know how I feel about that, because if you're a quarterback, you know, he's a redshirt freshman, so I understand, you know, he wants to get on with his career. But Adrian Martinez is a true freshman, so you don't know how he's going to react. I would at least maybe, you know, and you're going to have to sit out this season anyway, so I might have at least waited and to see, you know, what would happen in the first game before I chose to transfer, unless he just completely was getting dominated in the competition and, you know, and didn't want to admit it. But I'm surprised he didn't wait. Next, let's talk about the big boys. Felipe Franks. He's been named a starter at University of Florida. He gotten hurt, and they brought in some talent from this past year. Talented freshman. I think they also had a transfer that was pretty good. Let me see here. Yeah, they brought in let me see. I forget what this guy is. Oh, they're not showing his name here. Damn it. Oh, they got a whole list of them right here. Okay, yeah, I see it here. Brought in Emory Jones, who's a pretty good freshman. But Franks won the battle there. Florida State, it looks like DeAndre Francois is going to be the starter over James Blackman. Francois was just getting murdered. he's gotten murdered like the past 2 years because that offensive line has been horrible. And Blackman came in. Blackman had a pretty decent, you know, pretty decent season. But he's going to be the starter there. Texas going to start Sam Ehlinger. I think that's a good thing. I got to see him last year against USC. Played extremely well. Speaking of my boys at USC, USC is going to be starting a true freshman for only the second time in JT Daniels. I spoke a little bit about JT Daniels last year. Dude is my... I've seen some good high school quarterbacks. I've seen some in person, and I've seen some on film. JT Daniels might be the best quarterback I've seen in high school. He was unstoppable last year. I mean, that literally and figuratively, they went undefeated. They won the national championship, won the state championship, blah, blah, blah. He is a true freshman, though, and he reclassified to come a year early. So he's only supposed to be a high school senior, and he's now going to be starting at USC. They got a game against UNLV, which, I mean, it's UNLV. It's still a college football team, though, so it's still, you know, a big spotlight. The other guys, I thought Jack Sears is an excellent quarterback, in my opinion. I thought he'd be able to step up. But it looks like they named Daniels. Daniels just was, you know, he's just amazing. Good arm, accurate timing, you know. He's like a robo quarterback. He's going to be filling Sam Darnold's shoes. And those are big shoes to fill. But you got to also wonder if Clay Helton's making the right decision, because Clay Helton also started Max Brown over Sam Darnold. And that had huge implications, because who knows what could happen. If Darnold would have started maybe the whole year, maybe USC would have at least made it to the – well, shoot, I'm pretty certain that they would have at least made it to the playoffs, because they were right on the border there. And who knows, maybe they lost out on a possible national championship, but that's football, though. Before I continue, let me go ahead and bring in Big Game James. What's going on, James?
All right, Tess.
How's it going? Nothing much, man. I'm just going over some of these quarterback battles, man. I was talking about the USC Trojan, man. They're starting JT Daniels, man.
Yeah. You know, saw that. Didn't know how highly heralded he was coming into USC. But, I mean, it's USC, and when it comes to quarterbacks and, you know, highly ranked quarterbacks over the past, you know, 15 years plus, they went to USC. So, I mean, having JT Daniels come there is, you know, not much of a surprise for some.
Yeah.
I know they had that first game against UNLV, and yeah, I guess it's kind of a JV type of game, because if it's the same UNLV that lost to Kalen Newton last year, then they won't have any type of chance against the Trojans. So that's what you got right there.
Well, let me ask you, man. Are you still in SoCal?
Nah, I'm back over in Virginia, man.
How'd you like it down there, man?
I mean, you know, I was over in the L.A. area a little bit, went by downtown, but had to spend a few days over by the Anaheim area, but I didn't really do that much. I was basically in class, like, the whole time I was over in Anaheim. But, like, I was there Friday. I could have went to the Angels-Astros game that was on Friday, but I didn't even, you know, notice. So I missed out on that.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah, man. L.A., man. I like L.A. It's just, man, it's just the prices, though. You know, it's like that cost of living. It's like, my goodness. But,
yeah.
You know, for vacation spots, L.A. is one of them spots where you can go on vacation and you really don't have to even go to that many places to have fun. I mean, to me, just, you know, just being able to go down Hollywood Boulevard, you know, going down Sunset, you know, see seeing all the stuff, and you know, it's like, you know, it's like a vacation in itself just going there. You don't even have to do Disneyland or none of that stuff, you know.
Oh no, nah, Disneyland, like, and I mean, that's the other thing too. Like, everything is like so spread out, so you know, like something like a Disneyland, you have to go a little bit of ways in order to, you know, reach Disneyland. You got to go over close to Anaheim. So.
Oh yeah. Oh
that's
yeah.
That's the thing about that. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. That's funny. It's funny you mentioned that too. I don't think people realize that about L.A. because L.A. often gets compared to like New York and Chicago, which New York and Chicago are big cities, but they're all like right there. Like L.A.,
yeah.
You know, you say you're going to go to Disneyland, you got to drive an hour just to get to damn Anaheim, you know? And,
yep.
You know, you go to Magic Mountain, you got to go all the way to
Disneyland. Man, that traffic.
And the traffic is the worst. Oh, my goodness.
The worst.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. They got, like I say, you know, L.A., it's weird because they got a lot of freeways. They just got a lot of people, man. It's not, you know, 9 million people in that area, so, you know. Either you get on the 405, the 10, then you know the 5. You're gonna run into traffic. It's undeniable.
Yep.
But you know, like I say, I like it. I don't know if I could. You know, I used to live down there. I don't know if I could live down there again though, just because you know, like I say, just I don't know. It just seems to be, you know, have become a representation of a lot of what I don't like. You know, like you know, but you know, like I said, I mean, if you're like I said for vacation, it's one of my top spots. I love, you know. Love going to visit.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
they got a lot.
You know, good little spots and good little areas. Culver City, you know, area is pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, there's like, you know, a couple of other spots, you know, over there by the beach, by Huntington Beach and all that. So
yeah.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. I actually, you know, I think I told you, I used to live in Culver City. I went to middle school there at Palms Middle School over there. And, it's a really nice area. It's one of, you know, it's surprising. One of the things that's surprising about that Culver City area is it's actually a lot more diverse than you would think for being in that type of area. You got a lot of, you know, you got a lot of mixture of different cultures and stuff over there. Like I told you about that mall, they're kind of trying to do a little bit of gentrification though. Everybody, like I said, everybody from LA who's really from, they know that mall is called the Fox Hills Mall. It is always going to be the Fox Hills Mall, but now I think, like I said, I think you said they're trying to turn it to like the Westfield Shopping Center of Culver City or something now. So they're kind of trying to do a little bit of rebranding. But like I said, that's the other thing about LA is the malls are the best, man. LA was like the mall center, you know. Especially all these malls, they built all these malls during the 80s, and you know, when the mall craze was going on in the country, and LA was like mall central. So that's where all the Valley Girls and all that, you know. So you know, you got all that stuff down there. So that's a really good spot to be in. Also, the other big quarterback battle that is going on, that we really haven't been that clear on. I don't know what Saban is playing at here. I kind of know what he's doing. And I think Nick Saban is doing what I like to call hedging his bets. Because he is not named a starter yet. Let me look really quick just to make sure. I don't know if he did today or anything. No, okay. No, it has no starter been named yet. But from what, you know, like I say, I mean, everybody, you know, everybody's crazy over Tua, you know, because he came in, won the national championship. You know, I kind of thought he would have taken over for Jalen Hurts, you know, because he had the big arm, you know, and he's a passer. Jalen Hurts really isn't that much of a passer. But,
right.
But, there has to be a reason that Saban did not name him the starting quarterback last year. And it's kind of make, like I say, it's kind of, I'm kind of going back and forth, you know, because everybody's like, oh, Tua's going to be the starting quarterback, that. You know, Hurts had been saying the stuff in the media, like he was surprised at, you know, at some of the comments that Saban had been saying. But I don't want, you know, like I say, people got to realize this is a guy, he's only had pretty much like one half of college football experience. You know, so like I say, the skills are all there. Everything is there. But, you know, you're going against a quarterback in Jalen Hurts, who the last two years, what, Jalen Hurts has lost, I think, two games. You know, he's
right.
Like, what, 24-2? So,
But this is Alabama. They're going to, you know, they have all the top talent in the world. But I just, you know, I just don't know. You know, like I say, I'm kind of, you know, I'm still kind of, you know, even though, you know, like I say, I'm big on JT Daniels. I think he's a big talent. But like, you know, like I say, this is a guy, you know, he declared early. So he would only be a high school senior this year. And when you play for a team like Modern Day, you're used to playing on a dominant team. You know, this is, you know, like I said, team last year, Modern Day, is maybe one of the best teams of all time. And, you know, like I said, so it's, you know, it's different. You know, like I said, basically I got to see these guys when they face adversity, you know. And Alabama, it might be a different story because they got the top talent, so Tua might fit in there. But, you know, it's a lot different, you know, beating down high school kids than when you're down, you know, two touchdowns to Michigan or Ohio State, and, you know, and you got to, you know, well, shit, Tua did it, but, but you know what I mean? What do you think about this Tua Jalen Hurts battle?
I mean, I don't know what to really make out of it, because, I mean, Nick Saban isn't one that really, like, kind of, like, shows his hand with, you know, a lot of things. And I think the thing with, like, the quarterback situation is he doesn't really want to, you know, give that out to the public or to the media, because, I mean, he doesn't really want, you know, potential opponents to, you know, go, you know, basically game plan for that particular quarterback. You know, here with, you know, the University of Alabama, at least, you know, ever since Nick Saban has been there, you haven't really seen him have like a superstar type of quarterback or, you know, a five-star top five, you know, pocket passer quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, he hasn't really had that at Alabama. So they kind of like build themselves around a solid running game and a solid defense. And I think, you know, regardless if he has Jalen Hurts back there or, you know, Tua Tagovailoa over there, I mean, it's still going to be the same type of, you know, Alabama football. They still have you know, Harris. You know, Harris is there. Actually, both Harrises should still be there.
Yeah, Najee and Damian.
Yeah, Najee and Damian Harris. Yeah. So, I mean, they're just gonna base off of, you know, running the ball and having a you know, play action type of offense. Mm-hmm. That's how they're gonna build themselves.
Yeah, I think the same thing. I kind of feel bad for Jalen Hurts, but then again, it's like he did the same thing to the who was that, Blake Barnett, when he came in and took Barnett.
Yeah.
Barnett transfer. So it's like, hey, you know. But you know, one thing I noticed about Hurts is he did not make the strides as a passer over the past 2 years that I thought he would. You know, and I think that's important to see in a lot of young quarterbacks. Is like, everybody's not going to come in and be a gunslinger, but in my opinion, as long as you show improvement, you know, over the years, I can work with you. But if you're still making the same mistakes you made day one, you know, still throwing the same off passes, still not being able to complete the deep out, it's like, all right, this isn't going to work.
Yeah, it's not going to work.
Yeah, you know, so I don't know, you know, and his pops has come out saying that if he transfers, he'll be the biggest free agent in college football history, which I don't know about all that, but, you know.
Like
I said, there'd definitely be teams that'll want him if he does transfer. But like I said, I mean, if I were him, like I say, you know, even if Tua is named the starter, you know, go ahead and, you know, like I say, you never know how that first couple of games are going to go, you know, it's you know. So, you know, dude, like I say, you know, stuff happens in the middle of the season. Plus, like I say, if you have to sit out the whole season anyway, you know, if you transfer, you might as well, you know, stay where you're at, you know. So, you know, I mean, like I say, unless you're going to, you know, a lower division where you're going to be able to start immediately, you know, but like I say, pretty much the season's already started. So unless you got to deal with a community college coach or a D2 coach, and they know they're going to make you the starter, I'd probably as well just stay there. And then, you know, transfer in January, like everybody else, you know.
I mean, and the thing about it is that, Jalen Hurts has been part of a team that has participated in the college football national championship for 3 seasons in a row.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, why would I leave
that type of program, you know, basically and sit out 1 year, like where would I be, you know, go, that would be a better situation.
Exactly.
Sit out for the year or whatever. I mean, you've already got like 2 or 3 years in, so.
Exactly.
You're already too deep in it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, like I say, it's up to him. You know, like I say, people, I think, you know, like, you know, I was talking about earlier about Tristan Gebbia transferring from Nebraska, going to, you know, Oregon State. You know, a lot of these guys, you know, I think they get emotionally, you know, caught up and, you know, they get kind of disgusted. But, you know, it's like at the end of the day, I think a lot of them, you know, you got to realize it's football. When you get to the NFL, you might not be the starter. You're going to quit the whole team and, you know, and leave or, you know. And I mean, like I say, you know, if it's the off season, you know, go ahead and do your thing. But I mean, if you're in the middle of the season and you actually want to be a better quarterback, like you say, you know, you're at a top school in Alabama. So, you know, if you, you know, make yourself better there, then transfer, you know, but you're not going to get any better, you know, transferring to Jacksonville State, you know, so.
Mm-hmm. Well,
you know,
I mean, maybe you could join your boy, who is it, Gruden?
Yeah.
FAU?
Yeah. Go, yeah. All these dudes. I think, he's gotten, I think he's gotten like 3 quarterback transfers over there now. They were at big schools. And, you know, they're becoming, you know, which, I mean, like I said, on his part is smart, you know, because he's getting, you know, these top quarterback talents. But, you know, like I said, it's not going to be
good.
Not
really a destination for, like, you know, other skilled players.
Exactly. Yeah. If you're planning on going to NFL, I mean, unless, like I said, unless you really believe in building FAU into a powerhouse program, which, you know, it might or might not. But, you know, nobody looking for no quarterback from FAU.
Right.
You know. But, I mean, like I said, they have, you know, they have been decent, you know, the past couple of years under Kiffin. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, you never know. I mean, like I said, they still, you know, he's got all these guys transferred, and they still haven't even named a starter for this year yet. So, you know, they got DeAndre Johnson there. They got the Chris Robinson there, freshman. You know, they got a lot of talent there that have transferred there. But, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I don't know about them. Like I say, talking about the season as a whole, how do you see this season going? Who's your favorite for making the playoffs, and what do you think about the national championship race?
Well, my thing is I'm focused on the beginning of the season, and I think I, like, posted on the thing for the Take This L page on Facebook, and one of the big things, one of the big matchups that I'm looking at is Washington versus Auburn, top 10 matchup.
Yeah.
You know, that's coming up. That is going to, you know, determine the direction of both of those teams and how they may fare, you know, for the rest of the year. And, you know, with Washington being the higher ranked team, they end up winning, they'll, you know, probably be, you know, ended up in the top 5 and won the polls. So that's something to basically look out for. So that's one thing I'm focusing on. Not really, you know, seeing anything other than that. Alabama is still Alabama. I mean, I'm looking at what Clemson is going to do with Trevor Lawrence under the helm. So that's going to be, you know, something that I'm going to be watching out for, Clemson. And I'm going to see what Miami does, you know, this year. They had a, you know, pretty big year. And continue on that momentum. So I think going to be, kind of like a semi-target on them, after their good year. So we're going to see what happens with Mark Rick after having that successful year last year.
Yeah, they gotta. Yeah, Miami. They're gonna have a big gut check coming up. They got the big game against LSU, and that's gonna be on Sunday. They're gonna get a primetime Sunday matchup against LSU this Sunday. And LSU, they're ranked number 25, but they're still LSU. They're still gonna come out with a hard nosed defense. And it looks like they might have found themselves a quarterback in Joe Burrow from Ohio State. So, LSU has been always one of the teams that they've always had all the talent except for that quarterback spot. So, it's going to be a big gut check for both teams. It's, like I said, it's a lot of, you mentioned Washington-Auburn. Like I said, that Miami-LSU matchup. For Miami, it's going to be a gut check. People really want the U to be back. They're going to be having them turnover chain. Is that what they call it, the turnover chain?
Yeah.
We're having the turnover chain out there. You got Michigan and Notre Dame. They're 12 and 14 matchup. They're two teams that might not be that good, but they're two teams that voters like. And they're two teams that that they like to see in bowl games. So, either one of those teams, they win that game, that could, put them well on their way to a possible playoff. Then on Monday, you got a matchup of Florida State, got the old 2000 championship rematch of Florida State versus Virginia Tech. And that's a 19 and 20 matchup. Like I say, we're going to get to see which Florida State is going to show up this year. This is Willie Taggart's first year. He needs a statement victory this year. This is going to be you look at Florida State's schedule, like I said, they're number 19. They got, they got Virginia Tech there at number 20. They got Miami, who's number 8. They got Clemson, who's number 2. They got Notre Dame, who's number 12, and then they end up the year at Florida, who very well could be ranked by the end of the year. So this is a big year for FSU.
I don't think so. I think Florida is still set. I don't know about Notre Dame, too. I mean, I think, the thing with Notre Dame, kind of speak on that real quick. I mean, you got Brian Kelly there, and so, it's pretty much going to be a, show me what you got, Brian Kelly. We got you all this money,
Yeah.
You're supposed to, give us a return on that money.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to come through, or they're going to be like, hey, you might have to roll out there, bro.
Yeah, like I said, I'm surprised, I'm surprised he's made it this far with, but I think, I think, because they've had so much, this pretty much has been the most uncertain coaching period in Notre Dame history. So I think they kind of wanted to get somebody in there who would maybe settle down and get at least, 5 or 10 years in their coaching. But I was talking earlier about the quarterback battles. He named Brandon Wimbush the starter, who was, and he was a starter last year, but, he only completed 49% of his passes last year. And you're not going to win a national championship with a quarterback that completes 49%. You can't. Exactly. Yeah. So they're going to be facing an uphill battle there for the Fighting Irish, but, you never know. Let me check their schedule real quick. They got Michigan, Stanford, Virginia Tech, FSU, and then ended up the year at USC. So they got, they got a pretty stout schedule, But like I say, we'll see how they run through it. If they make it to November undefeated, I'd be surprised.
One thing I forgot to talk about when I got got back on. You're talking about USC, right?
Yeah.
What do you think about that receiver they got, St. Brown, that went to USC? Is he on something different than his brother that went to Notre Dame?
My good, I think Amon-Ra St. Brown reminds me a lot of Antonio Brown. And that I don't want to speak in hyperbole, but he gets me excited. USC, the past couple of years, pretty much since Adoree Jackson has left, USC hasn't had a game breaker. And Amon-Ra is a game breaker. You know, I think every good team, you know, to me, all the top national teams, they all have had a game breaker. You know, somebody who can get on the field and, you know, and score from any spot on the field, you know. And USC really hasn't had, you know, I mean, they had, you know, they had Ronald Jones last year, who's at Tampa this year. But, you know, I'm talking about a guy who can return the kick, you know, might take a, you know, take the pass, you know, just, to, you know, a real take it to the house kind of guy. And I think that Amon-Ra, he's that type of guy. Like I say, he's, you know, he played on the same team as JT Daniels, you know, so he's going to have, you know, they've already had a connection in the practices. Amon-Ra is going to be, he's going to be the starting slot. He's either start, I think they either named him starter slot or the backup slot, wide receiver. So he's going to get on the field. He's going to be starting. I know he's going to be a starting punt returner for sure. You know, like I said, so they're going to, you know, they're going to get him on the field. They got to get a game breaker out there. I really like him. You know, all the St. Brown, they get three of them. It's three brothers. Equanimous St. Brown, he went to Notre Dame. He's at Green Bay this year. Osiris St. Brown, he's in Stanford. And then they have Amon-Ra, who's at USC. And I think Amon-Ra might be the best one of all of them. He was the highest rated coming out of high school. He's number 11 player in the country. And like I say, he's pretty much electric. Last time I saw him play, you know, it was a U.S. Army All-American game. And, you know, he tore that thing up. So, you know, but like I say, you know, college is a bigger stage, bigger and faster players. You got to see what he's going to do. But like I say, I'm happy, man. Like I say, USC, they're going to be coming around ranked number 15 this year. And I'm really excited because I think at that spot, you know, with the starting freshman quarterback, expectations aren't too high. But it also opens up the door for them to do a lot of great things. You know, they can climb really easy. You know, like I said, there's going to be, we just talked about it. The first couple of weeks, there's going to be a lot of top 10, top 20 matchups. So, you know, some of those teams are going to fall, and it's going to give a lot of the other teams a lot of chance, you know, opportunity to rise. So, you know, I like the spot USC is in. You know, I mean, even, like I said, even if it's like, you know, like I say, even if it's pretty much like this year might be the off year, and then next year might be the year where, you know, you're going to get guys who are going to have a year of experience under their belt. Because even at the running back position with Stephen Carr, he was a big had a big year last year as a backup. But, you know, like I say, you want to see what he can do as a starter. So, you know, I like where they're coming at this year. Like I said, they've got a lot of talent coming back, and they're a very talented team. But like I say, you got to, after a while, you can't just keep getting top 10, top 5 recruiting classes. You got to put the you got to put up those numbers, and you got to get the turnover. And USC, the previous couple of years under Clay Helton, they've been a team where they've lost games that they weren't supposed to lose, and it's taken them out of contention. You know, it's taken them out of contention. And you know, with the way this system is set up, you got to be perfect, you know. So, you know, go ahead, you know, you don't have no business losing, you know, games that you're not supposed to be losing. But then you go ahead, you know, and play a classic game against Penn State in the Rose Bowl and win, you know. But, you know, if you would have beat, you know, this other team, you know, at the beginning of the year, you'd be in the college football playoffs, you know. So, you don't need to lose to Utah and, you know, or, you know, like I said, I mean, they lost the first game to Stanford, to Alabama that year. But, you know, like last year, you know, you don't need to lose to Washington State. You know, don't get blown out by Notre Dame. You know, it's like those type of games, you know, it's been really frustrating with Clay Helton, you know, losing those type of games. And then you look at their bowl record the past 3 years, besides the Penn State game, they are 1-3. 1-3 in bowl games.
So, you know, for USC, that is not a – actually, I'm sorry. They lost two games and won one. And, you know, for USC, one of the things about USC is, you know, they've always been money in the bowl game. You know, so for them to, you know, be losing this bowl game, especially last year, you know, playing Ohio State and getting embarrassed, you know, 24-7. Then, like I say, you know, then they had the big win against Penn State the year before that. But then the year before that, they get beat by Wisconsin. You know, and that was a year where they lost five games in the season. So, you know, you don't want to have those type of losses. Clay Helton is a guy that everybody likes, but, you know, likes only get you so far when you're at a big school and you got to perform. So we got to see, you know, we got to see how they're going to do.
Remember he was there for a little bit and he kind of like looked like he was a player's coach, but
exactly.
They were looking for the big guy in Harbaugh, and they got Harbaugh. But the thing with Harbaugh is this is another year for him that's kind of like make or break. So, but I mean, yeah, he got to come through too, you know?
Yeah.
Supposed to have like either, well, they got like a top rated quarterback. Of course, they got Shea Patterson. I think they got another freshman, right?
Yeah, they got Dylan McCaffrey, who is Ed McCaffrey's son and Christian McCaffrey's little brother, and he's one of the top guys.
Yeah, so that's another team that people got to watch for, and be like, all right, Michigan got to put it up, man, because those are high expectations getting the. You know, high-profile coach, you know. You shouldn't be getting beat by Ohio State like they didn't get beat by Ohio State, you know.
Yeah.
Not like the season before, they should have won that game. You know, I think that was like a little bit controversial with that game. But the one after that, to get beat by that they got beat, nah, they shouldn't be not Michigan. You know, so.
Yeah, they definitely, they're definitely, I think when they hired Harbaugh, they expected him to bring in, you know, the new era of Michigan. And definitely, I don't think that that's been, you know, I don't think that that's been the case. You know, like you said, I think they've lost to Ohio State. I think this is their, let me look real quick. This is either their third. Ooh, wow. They have gone, let me see, this is their fifth, 2012. Okay, they have not beat Ohio State since 2011. So, pretty much, like I say, you know, that's a big part. I mean, that's, you know, the biggest, you know, one of the biggest rivalries in the country, if not the biggest, in Michigan, Ohio State. And they've lost that going on, you know, on 7 years now. So, you know.
That can't fly at all.
Yeah, that's, I don't care who you are as a coach. Especially, you know, like I say, you know, last year they're coming off a 8-5 season. And they've gotten the recruits. Like I said, it hasn't been for lack of recruiting. They've gotten the recruits. So, you know, like I say, you got to look at where they, you know, if they, like I said, they start off the season against Notre Dame, who's number 12. Then they got Western Michigan, SMU, Nebraska, Northwestern, and Maryland. So they should make it all the way up to August. I mean, to October undefeated. And then from that point, August 13th, they have Wisconsin. Then they got Michigan State, Penn State. So that's three tough games in a row. And then they got Rutgers, Indiana. Then they end up the game at Ohio State.
They should be beating. Actually, they should be beating teams like Michigan State too.
They should be. Michigan State is one of them teams. Like I say, they, you know, they don't have the best recruits or the best players, but they, you know, they get battlers out there, man. You know, they're also a team if they didn't lose certain games, you know, you could have easily seen them in the playoffs.
Yeah. I mean, they got there one time and then they got blown out by Alabama. But, I mean,
yeah.
I treat Michigan State like I treat Stanford every year. And y'all know I don't like Stanford. And Stanford, a team that beats the teams that they're not supposed to beat,
exactly.
always looks not supposed to lose.
Come back and lose the Bozo game. Like that year. What was that? Was that last year or the year before that where they had that what was it, like 1 year they had that punt that got blocked or something amazing happened. It was either a punt or a field goal that somebody returned for a touchdown or something amazing.
Wasn't that against USC?
I can't even think about it. It was that year. They had something amazing happen like 2 years in a row. And damn, I'm looking. I didn't even know this. In 2016, I wasn't paying attention, and they only won three games in 2016. That's amazing. They were getting it,
yeah.
But yeah. So must have been 2017, or no? Maybe it was. Yeah, I don't know. I have to look. But yeah, that 1 year they made it to the playoffs 2015, and they got blown out by Alabama. But you know, they got D'Antoni there as a coach. The thing is, though. D'Antoni might not be there anymore, you know, because they got all that stuff going on with that doctor that has molested literally hundreds of girls, and apparently nobody tried to stop him. So
yeah, no, come on, man, they knew. They just didn't do nothing.
Yeah,
so they going
and this. And this is also, like, I'm also looking here, and this, you know, he dealt with a sexual assault allegation against a player by talking to his mother. You know, no discipline or anything or booting him off the team was dealt with. So, like I said, I'm surprised D'Antoni has came out of this whole situation, quote unquote, clean. You know, because I thought,
right.
Like I said, I thought we were going to be looking at a Baylor type situation, you know, like a Art Briles type situation. But somehow, you know, only I think the doctor's name was Larry Vassar or something like. Somehow he was the only one. This came out of this, you know, which he was the actual, you know, the guy that did it. But somehow he's the only one that came out of this with any kind of punishment.
Yeah.
Larry Nassir, that's his name, yeah. And it seems like they've been like I said, they've had several incidents with sexual assault there at Michigan State. Including, like I said, I'm looking here is another one, including a guy who's a physical man, oh man. Yeah, that's too bad. I don't see how that's, you know. I don't see how that's still going on, but yeah. So, like I say, you gotta wonder how long he's still even gonna be the coach at Michigan State there. You know, on the basketball part, they got Tom Izzo, which he's kind of he's the other guy. He's kind of came out of things, you know. And like I say, you know, similar to the situation with Joe Paterno at Penn State, I'm
right.
Like I said, I'm 99% sure that Tom Izzo and Mike D'Antoni de facto run Michigan State. You know, just like any other big coach at his school is no matter who the AD is or who the president is, he de facto runs the school and he knows everything that goes on there.
Basically.
So, you know, like I said, I'm not going to say if he knew something, but I'm going to say more than likely that they both knew and nobody did anything. So, you know, whatever happens, happens. But, yeah. But anyway, let me, Let's go ahead and and switch gears. Do you have anything else about college you want to go over?
I think I went through all the major schools there with what's going on over at the ACC, SEC, Big Ten, and Pac-12. Probably not much of the Big 12. I'm also interested to see what OU does with baseball player. The quarterback.
I talked about him earlier. They named him the starter. It kind of surprised me. It took them this long to name him the starter. But because I kind of had him. I thought he was going to be like a Heisman dark horse this year. But I don't know.
Yeah, but you had it. That opportunity. To be a baseball player, and of course, we talk about often how good baseball players are, and when you started the show, you were talking about thing with the NFL football and Aaron Rodgers getting that contract. NFLPA is like the sorriest players association in sports with the way that they don't get their contracts set up well, like other other organizations. So
it's almost a joke.
Yeah. So, you see how NBAPA runs things, and of course, baseball is like the most lucrative contracts that you could get in sports. But those are like the least, as far as like when it comes to day-to-day contact. Compared to football, it's not even close.
Yeah.
But yet, you have these guys getting paid the way that they're getting paid, and it doesn't make any sense. But they allow it, so, well.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. It's kind of mind-boggling, how you look at the values versus what the players get paid. And like I say, we were looking at I'll talk about that a little bit later, but yeah, but anyway, going back to Kyler Murray. Yeah. He, I don't know, like I said, I'm kind of surprised because he got drafted and he just didn't get drafted, in the seventh round. I mean, he got drafted in the first round, number 9 overall, right. So to me, coming out playing a year of football, he's risking a lot. I hope he doesn't get injured, But, he said he's only going to give it 1 year. And, I'm guessing that's unless he's super successful, which you never know. But, I say, he's got, he did sign the contract. He actually got drafted by the A's. So I'm looking forward to, hopefully he can get there. I'm a big A's fan. So I'm looking forward to him getting there. But, you just never know when you step on, you never stay. If you can play baseball, you can play that for 20 years and never get hurt, talking about Aaron Rodgers, man, he signed a huge contract. He signed a huge, huge contract, and I said earlier, it's a huge contract. If he hits all the, the incentives or whatever, it can be worth $180 million over 4 years. Now, the incentives from what they've said are them making the playoffs and him being top 3 in the quarterback rating, which, like I say, if he's healthy and, they're good, it's not that far off. So pretty much it could end up valued out. If he hits everything, it end up valued out at $45 million a year, over 4 years, which, is NBA money. So, but, like I said, on the flip side of that, you look at Odell Beckham, who just signed his contract, which was supposed to be a huge contract, and he, quote unquote, only signed for 5 years, $95 million. And he's, and Aaron Rodgers, like I said earlier, Aaron Rodgers is at this is the last, I'm believing this is the last contract he's ever going to sign because he's 30, he's 35, he'll be 35 and then this year, this will put him under contract until he's 40 years old. Damn. Odell Beckham's only 25 years old. He's literally in the prime of his career. And this is probably going to be the biggest contract he's ever going to sign. So, like I said, and I said earlier, unless your kid can throw that rock, you might want to point him somewhere else besides football. Like I said, give him a baseball bat or put him on that hardwood. Or, you know, he might, and really, you might want to put him on that soccer field. So,
yeah, there's also that too.
Yeah, it like I said, I don't know what these NFL dudes are doing, but my goodness, I mean, you gotta, you know, you look at the injury rate, you know, you look at these guys, you know, all this stuff, the CTE, I mean.
Yep.
It's, you know, like I said, it's literally, you know, like I say, now that all this stuff is coming out about CTE, I mean, like I say, literally, you know, I mean, in most high schools, like I say, when I was in high school, they didn't even really tell us about concussions or anything, you know, like I said, because, you know, I'm 99% sure I've had one before, and all they, oh, you got your bell rung, you know, it's like, bell rung, it's like, you know, basically walk it off, go get some water, and then get back out there. And that, you know, and like I said, that's, you know, and that's high school. But, you know, like I said, I'm pretty sure it's like that on all levels. You know, they get these kids out there and, you know, they run them into the ground. I mean, you know, we're looking at the coaching situation. You know, look what happened up in Maryland, you know, which that coach needs to be fired too. You know, they're running these kids to death, you know, and it's intense, man. And like I said, I want to speak on that too, about that Maryland situation. One thing that I don't think that people realize about is how much these athletes are already in practice. To me, in my opinion, they need to get rid of conditioning. They need to get rid of that in college sports, because, you know, you do it in high school. You have the hell week in high school and the 2 weeks in high school, because guys are coming, you know, they're basically coming off the summer, so you're trying to get people back in shape. These college athletes, they're practicing all year round, whether unattended coaches practice, but like I say, pretty much it's the coaches, you know, pretty much the coaches will lay out a practice plan and be like, okay, you guys need to do this during the off season, and they're doing it every day. So these guys, they're practicing the equivalent, even sometimes even more of how much professional athletes practice. You know, so there's no reason to put them through, you know, a hell week or anything like that out there, you know, heavy conditioning drills like that in the hot sun, you know, and that's like I say, and that's my opinion. And you look at how many college athletes have died. And I mean, like I say, and this is talking about death, you know, within the past couple of years that we've heard about. And that's literally you're running these people to death. And that, like I say, and that's not including the guys that are getting, you know, passing out, you know, throwing up, getting dehydrated, getting cramps or whatever. That's a whole different story. I'm pretty sure those numbers are going to run into the hundreds, possibly into the thousands of guys, you know, because like I said, that, you know, I at high school practice, that's an everyday thing, you know, guys throwing up, passing out, you know, getting hot, you know, especially, like I said, in some of these hotter places. But when you're running people to death, it's time to start rethinking the way you practice. You know, something has got to change. And, you know, and it's like, and I know a lot of these people have this, oh, suck it up attitude. Oh, you know, why, you know, it's like, no, if somebody tells you something's wrong, you know, get them medical attention. You know, everybody's body, you don't, you know, you're not a doctor. That's what doctors are for. Everybody's body is different, you know, and, you know, in that situation, it really makes, I hope they sue Maryland for everything that they have, which looks like I think they're going to.
They're probably going to. The thing about it is, You kind of like consider what's going on when it comes to football in general, and you got a lot of these, you know, young guys basically. They come in there 18 years old, right? And some of them have been playing football for 12 years before stepping into college. So they've been, you know, pushed since they were like 6 or 7 years old, you know, and in a lot of cases, like, you have contact football in those little leagues or whatever it is. So they've been going through all of that year after year after year for, you know, 10 to 12 years, and then it becomes more intense and they have it more often in college. And this doesn't include, I mean, you know, quote unquote, back in our day, you know, in high school, you talk about 2 weeks or 3 weeks. You had, like, you know, the 20 days or so in the summer before our first, you know, first game. But nowadays, if you're in, you're, by the time you're signed, you're in the program.
Exactly.
We talk about these, you know, early enrollees and all that type of stuff, but they're in there before what, April? By April?
Yeah. Yeah.
Before the second semester of college is over, they're already in there for spring practice. So it's like, okay, these guys are like 18 years old, not really fully developed. Some of them may be 17, not really fully developed, going up against guys that have been in the program for 3 or 4 years. So that's something that, you know, is very intense in that you run the risk of, you know, having a lot of these young people in danger, physically and mentally. So that's something that has to be looked at as a whole, not just, you know, there at the University of Maryland, because, I mean, personally, you know, I've been away from, you know, I'm over in the Alexandria, Virginia area. You know, College Park is on the other side of the Beltway. I had absolutely no idea what was going on over there.
Mm-hmm.
No. You know, so if something like that goes on, I'm like, hey, we've seen over the course of 5 to 7 years, you have stuff like this going on. You have what went down over at Penn State. You have what went down over at Baylor. You have what went down over at Michigan State. And now with Ohio State, these are like very closed-door or secretive type of programs where you really don't know what's going on unless if you directly talk to these people.
Yep.
And even then, you might not get what you want, you know. So it's crazy, man.
Yeah, they know how to close ranks really quick. You know, it's like these, you know. Like I said, especially, you know, like I said, you know, Maryland's not a huge program, but, you know, you get to the bigger programs, you know, they close ranks really quick. You know, like I said, I used to tell people, you know, when I was at FAMU, we would go over to FSU all the time, and we never used to see any players, ever. You know, like I said, we knew, you know, of course we knew, you know, because we knew they're, you know, they had to be having the wildest parties or whatnot. The only player that we used to see was, what's old boy? It was a quarterback.
Who was
it? No, the black dude that they got kicked out. He stole checks.
Oh, man.
Adrian McPherson. And we used to, because he used to be at FAMU parties constantly. And we knew it was like, okay, that's Adrian McPherson over there. And it's like, you know, it's kind of coincided with him getting, you know, with him getting the boot. But like I say, them dudes, you know, like I say, you know, so they, you know, they close ranks, you know, really quick. And like I say, I'm pretty sure, you know, like I say, if, you know, if we would have known where they were going to be at, like I say, because I didn't even know. I mean, you know, like I say, even places like, you know, like the nightclubs or whatnot, you know, like I said, that's kind of how I knew Jameis was going to get in trouble, because Jameis was at, when he got caught up with that chick, he was at Floyd's or whatnot. You know, it's like, or I think it was Floyd. But, you know, like I say, we never, you know, like I say, it was kind of, you know, it's kind of two different things. Like I say, unless they were just there and we didn't know who they were. But like I said, usually most people used to point them out. Oh, that's, you know, oh, that's such and such, that's such and such, you know. But like I say, yeah, these, you know, these schools close their ranks. And like I say, and these coaches, they know everything, you know. So it's like I say, I mean, to me, it's almost like it's setting it up for either a overhaul or complete dissolution or, you know, of football the way as we know it, you know, between this going on these levels and the CTE and the professional program.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, something's got to give, you know what I mean? It's, you know, it's like, I don't think we can, you know, continue down this path, you know, for this long. And it's, you know, and it's like, I mean, this is just all the, and, you know, and like I said, most of this is happening just because of social media, you know?
Right.
So this is, you know, social media has just blown up within the past, really blown up within the past, you know, 10 years. So who knows how many untold stories before this have happened that we didn't even know about, you know?
Of course. You know, so, I mean, a lot of this stuff we're going to eventually find out as far as, like, what happens with these programs or, you know,
like how they run things, how they run the programs. I mean, it's going to get found out. And I think a lot of these colleges and universities are going to be in a little bit of trouble about that. That's something to look out for here in the next year or two.
Yeah, especially and what I'm looking at, too, is also when you factor in that these coaches are literally considered state employees. You know, then that, you know, like I say, that I, you know, and I don't know how much that even gets factored in. I mean, I don't know currently about the Jordan McNair, what his family's doing in Maryland with the lawsuit, but I'm wondering, could they sue the state of Maryland? I mean, that, you know, like I say, these are all state schools.
Yep. State university is run by the state. So think of that. Because it could be, you know, how they do the whole thing with the NCAA. Like how they did with the USC lack of institutional control.
Yeah. Well,
they go right there, you know?
Yeah.
You're not monitoring what's going on in your college or your university.
Yeah.
You allow something like this to happen. You allowed it to get to this level. They could sue the school. They could sue the state.
Yeah, because I know those the kids from that Penn State situation, which, you know, they deserved every cent they got. They got big bucks, you know, after those lawsuits were filed, you know, they got, I don't know if they listed the numbers from the settlements, but they, you know, they got breaded, you know, and like I say, you know, hopefully, you know, I mean, something, like I say, something's got to give. I mean, you know, you're that big of a school, you know. I mean, to me, like I say, if you're that size of a school, you know, have a doctor on site anyway. You know what I mean? Might as well.
Yep. You know,
why not? You know, from what I believe from the reports, from what I heard, they waited, you know, from the time he told them that something was wrong before they, you know, before they reacted and before they took him to the hospital and everything. So, you know. And I mean, like I say, I just look at his parents. I mean, you got to figure this is their, you know, he's only 19 years old. This is still their baby. And he's already, you know, you already have to trust these coaches pretty much with your kids, you know, and it's like, then you find out that the coach really was never looking after your kid's best interest in the first place. He was looking out for himself, you know? So I don't know. It's like I said, I think it's going to have, you know, huge repercussions on, you know, on football in general. Like I said, this plus the CTE, like I said, and this, you know, and like I said, we've all heard all the stories, you know, crazy stories that happen in high school football, you know, in high school football teams, especially in smaller towns, you know, the bigger the school. So, you know, players not going to class. I mean, it's, you know, there's, you know, thousands of stories about that. What I mentioned earlier too is, this year, high school football, we're going to have that big matchup, man, IMG versus Modern Day. You know, I thought it was going to be this week, and it's actually going to be in 3 weeks. And IMG is going to be flying out here to play Modern Day at Modern Day. And that's going to be a pretty huge matchup, man. I think that, you know, pretty much it's going to be like one of the biggest matchups in high school football, maybe ever. Because, you know, by that time, like I say, they're already, I believe, I think I looked it up. Modern Day is number 2, and I think IMG is like number 5. So, you know, for two teams to be traveling like this, that's huge, man. Especially for teams that have pretty much, you know, been looking for this matchup for the past couple of years. So, you know, this is going to be, it's going to be a huge game. And, you know, that's also to show you how big high school football is getting. You weren't on here, but I was talking about IMG, which, like I said, I still don't understand how it's legal because IMG is an agency, a sports agency that opened up a school that started a football team. But like I said, they're going to be traveling. They're traveling to, they already played the top team in Pennsylvania. They played that in them, their first game of the year. They blew them out. Then they're traveling to Nevada. They're traveling here. And they're also playing the top team in DC. So, and then they come back and then when they get back, they're playing Miami Norland, Miami Northwestern, you know, a lot of top schools from out here. So they're a high school team, but they're literally, and they get players from all over the country. The players stay there. That's the other thing too. The players actually live there on the school. This is a full like boarding type academy.
And they're playing teams from all over the country this year.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
you know,
just saying,
it's big bucks, man.
Number two at the end of last year. So yeah, it's going to be a big game. I think what it was last weekend, they had Bishop Gorman and some other team, but Bishop Gorman got ran.
Yeah. Mighty Day played Gorman last week, and they blew them out 42-0. And it's funny. They're technically they're 1-1 now because they started off the year, they beat Bishop Amat, but they had an ineligible player, so they had to forfeit that game. So technically they're 1-1, but they still have them, you know, they still have them as number two in the country now. And they got another quarterback, Bryce Young, who's the top dual threat quarterback for 2018. He just committed to USC, I think 2 weeks ago too. So they're a private school also, so they can pull players from all over. He actually transferred from another school. He was already a top quarterback. So they're a private school also. So they can pull players from all over the area pretty much. Kind of not quite on the level of what IMG is doing, like by pulling guys from all over the country. But, you know, they're pretty much pulling players from all over Southern California, which is a pretty good pool of guys to grab guys from and bring them there to modern day. So, like I say, it's definitely going to be a huge, huge game. And shows you, you know, the scope. I was talking about how they used to have the California Bowl, but I don't believe that goes on anymore. But you know, California and Florida have always had kind of a coast to coast rivalry in football. So it's going to be a huge game. I almost wish I was at FAMU because we used to talk major trash about high school football, and this would definitely be a bracket.
That doubleheader they had that past weekend with Carroll City and
what. What was the outcome of the game? I know somebody got blown out. Who was it? Rickards? I think Rickards got blown out.
My squad got blown out, man.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it wasn't much of the game, man.
Yeah, I kinda wish I was there. What about this cat I used to know at FAM, Sean Kelly, he played at Rickards, and he used to tell us how good they were and this and that. And Sean's dad was also the head of housing at FAMU. But he, you know, always tell us about Rickards, this and that. And he was like, whatever, you know. What the funny thing is, it turned out, though, Sean was actually really good in high school, and we didn't know it. Well, at least I didn't know it, you know, because it's like, what are you doing here at FAMU? But I think he was like All-State or something like that. But,
pretty good tight end, man.
Yeah, he ended up at FAM. So, but he'd always be telling us about Rickards, and you know, because the only school in Tallahassee I had heard about was Lincoln, and you know, I was good. And I knew how good they were, and that when I got to FAM, I actually see all them playing the state championship. I went to Florida State. They played the state championship against St. Thomas Aquinas, and they blew them out. And that Rickards team, that was one of the better teams I ever seen. They had a ton of talent on that team. I remember they had a. I think it was like Pat Watkins, Antonio Cromartie. They had a ton of dudes on that squad, man. I think I don't know if it was Crofonso Thorpe on there. They had a ton of dudes on there though that could all play. And they blew them cats out. But like I say, high school football is becoming huge, man. It's it's not just a regional thing anymore. I'm definitely going to stay updated on who wins that game. And, we will keep everybody here notified. Who are your picks for the Heisman this year, man? Who do you think is going to take it?
That's kind of a good question. Who is it for the, I think he's a sophomore, from Wisconsin.
Running back. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he's going to be somebody to watch.
Of course, you know, you're going to have I would say Jake Browning will be one guy, but, I mean, he's going to have a, you know, the spotlight of sorts first game. Khalil Tate is another one. Yeah, Jonathan Taylor is one I was talking about. But if, I think the, you know, the early favorite is going to be Bryce Love. See if he could, you know, have another big year over at Stanford. But like I said, it's Stanford, so I really don't care.
I don't even know why he came back, to tell you the truth. I thought he, you know, it's like, dude, go to the NFL, you know.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know why he came back, but when you had that, it's saying like, you know, Khalil Tate and Will Greer, I think is gonna have like a, you know, pretty good year throwing the ball. But I don't know if he's gonna get more than 3,600 yards. So, I mean, for me, he's got to have a, you know, a kind of like a stellar type of year with like 3,700 yards and like 40 touchdowns with like just 7 interceptions or something.
Yeah. If he stays injury free, he could do it. I always like Will Greer, man. That also just lets you know what was going on at University of Florida. You look at all those University of Florida quarterbacks who were having garbage seasons there, and then they transferred to other schools and became really good, like him, Jeff Driscoll, Jacoby Brissett. I mean, these are, you know, like I said, Will Greer is going to go to the NFL too. So, you know, it's kind of lets you know what was going on at University of Florida the past couple of years. That they couldn't get any better performance out of these guys, and they were having top recruiting classes too.
Yeah.
But like I said, I'm looking at I like Browning. I think, like I say, I pretty much he's gonna be kind of like my dark horse kind of guy, just because he kind of regressed last season. You know, even though the team wasn't, you know, the team was pretty good, but he didn't, you know, I don't know, maybe because he didn't have the same talent. You know, John Ross wasn't there, but he didn't have the same season he had the year before, which was a monster season. But you look at him, you look at a guy like Jake Fromm in Georgia, who's going to have a lot of talent coming back. A lot of people are going to have eyes on him. And whoever wins that Alabama spot, I mean, I think it's going to be Tua. And, you know, like you said, you know, if they run the same style of Alabama ball, you know, running it in defense, the passes that he does, you know, that he will have to do are going to be really simple. You know, they're not going to be running anything simple. So, I mean, they're not going to run anything difficult. So, you know, he's going to have an opportunity to, you know, to keep up, you know, to get a high percentage and a high number of touchdowns with a low turnover. Because they're definitely going to be running to set up the pass. So, you know, teams aren't going to be able to cheat up or anything like that. You know, like I say, I look at him, but I'm pretty much, I'm looking at Jake Fromm in Georgia just from the year he had last year, you know, kind of caught everybody off guard, and, you know, now everybody, you know, everybody's back on the Georgia train now. They've been getting all the top recruits. So I'm kind of looking at him. And yeah. And also, like I say, Jonathan Taylor out of Wisconsin, man, them Wisconsin backs have, you know, since Ron Dane, have just been churning out yards. You know, they've been having, you know, and I warned people last year about Wisconsin. Folks didn't believe me. I tried to tell people, I was like, they got a good offensive line and they got a good defense. And folks wasn't trying to hear me.
Yeah.
Like I said, they're definitely, you know, a good team. Like I said, I think they're number 4 in the country right now, so they're getting the recognition that they've been looking for. And, you know, Taylor, he just has to perform. He's only going to be a sophomore. You know, but like I say, you know, they're coming back with that same strong offensive line. You know, you just got to, you got to see, you know, let him get out there and see what he's going to do. He had a big season last year. He had almost 2,000 yards last year, and 13 touchdowns. You know, he was,
at 300 carries, which is a lot of carries, but, you know, 6.6 yards average, 13 touchdowns. So, you know,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, you also, like I say, you got to look at how their passing game goes along, too. And, but, you know, like I say, he'll definitely be in there. But, like I said, I'm really looking forward to it. I'm really excited. This is, you know, with, you know, this is, like I said, this is going to be one of the first years. I'm actually excited about watching football, and I'm excited about watching basketball because the Lakers got LeBron James. So, you know, this is going to be a good, this is going to be a good sports year for me. You know, I'm worried about the Raiders. I don't know what they're doing. I wasn't a big fan of the Gruden hire, and I'm not a fan of some of the things he's done already. And some of the personnel changes that they've made. I don't know how well that's going to work out for them. But I am going to watch. Like I said, I think this is their next last year that they're even going to be in Oakland before they make the move to Las Vegas. It's done. They're gone. They're going to be gone. So, you know, I'll give them a watch and see what they do. I'm not going to put too much into it, though, but, you know.
Yeah. True. Yeah, the thing is, yeah, it's going to be a little bit of a concern about, you know, what the Raiders do this year. I think, yeah, it's going to be, yeah, of course, very high expectations with Gruden there, seeing what he could do with the offense with Marshawn Lynch and, you know, Derek Carr. But I'm not sure, man. I mean, they have, you know, been, you know, kind of like good enough to win the division. But, you know, it's you know, I don't know about them being like a serious threat. I got to see if they'll basically compete. They should be able to compete with, the Chiefs. And I got to see what happens with Denver with their new quarterback, so.
Yeah, and I'm also worried. It's like, why are they acting like they don't want to pay Khalil Mack? It's like, what? It's like, are y'all really about to lose your best player? You know, really?
Yeah.
So, you know, especially how sorry that defense has been. I mean, my goodness.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so.
I don't know. But, all right, well, it looks like we've got about a minute left. Did you want to go ahead and throw anything else out there?
Not really. Just looking forward to the start of the college football season. And see what happens here over the next few weeks where we kind of like get a couple of good key out of conference matchups.
Yep. Looking forward to it too, man. It's been like it's a long wait, but it's here. Ready to get things on and cracking. Like to thank everybody for listening. We will get back to y'all soon. Everybody, this has been Take This L. Have a good one. Y'all, peace.
Peace out.